Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Jones with you on SJS. Kevin Herr alongside as we get ready for another big day today on the show. A little bit later in the show today, Tony Knopp will be talking to us, bottom of the hour. On the ending of the NHL lockout, they begin playing next week. Tony will join us from Los Angeles and talk about the impact that's going to have and whether they can salvage whatever in the league with a 48-game regular season followed by the playoffs. What's going on in Philadelphia? John Marks is going to join us later in the show from 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia, to talk to us about what's going on with the Eagles, among other topics in Philadelphia. Tomorrow, it's Neil Riddell, the Altoona Mirror, Adam Amin from ESPN tomorrow. Friday, it's going to be Guy Cipriano, Center Daily Times, Tony Knopp tonight, and following the Penn State basketball last night, Shamokin, Chicago at Shamokin last night. But Tony Knopp on the ending of the NHL lockout today. We had Tony on the show from Philadelphia. All that and more coming up, but first, above the noise, here is Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and since 1915.
Talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke.
Well, nobody elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame today. It is wrong. I find it to be embarrassing. And it has nothing to do with Clemens and Bonds. Look at the names that are on there. Tell me what Craig Biggio did wrong, other than get 3,000 hits, play in the greatest winning generation of a mediocre franchise of the Houston Astros, excelling at two different positions as an all-star, as a catcher, and then later as a second baseman. Pivotal positions. And getting 3,000. He has more doubles than Hank Aaron, for goodness sakes. Okay, tell me what Curt Schilling did wrong. Curt Schilling, in the postseason, hand him the ball in October and watch him win 11-2 on three different teams that made it through postseason deep, and a couple of world champions in Arizona and Boston. Okay? Tell me what Jack Morris did wrong other than be the ace of the Tigers staff year after year after year. And when he got to postseason play with the Tigers in 84, he was unbelievably good. And then in 1991 with the Twins, he was unbelievably good, including pitching one of the truly great games in World Series history. I didn't call it the greatest. Don Larson threw a perfect game. But one of the truly great pitching performances, Game 7, money on the table, 10 innings. He and John Smoltz put on a show for all of us. All right? What did he do wrong? All right, Mike Piazza. I don't want to hear that there are rumors. Prove it or not. You don't prove it, I vote for him. You don't come forward with proof or somebody tells me, I vote for him. Okay? Jeff Bagwell, suspicions. Suspicions of what? I have never heard him being accused of anything. All right? Vote for him.
You know what you're going to hear the problem, though, with Biggio
and
Piazza?
I don't want to hear about that. He got 3,000 hits.
No.
He's
no,
Paul
wait.
Molitor. Paul Molitor's who he is.
I'm not arguing with you. What I'm saying is, do you know what the answer for Biggio not being in the Hall, Piazza not being in the Hall, and Schilling not being in the Hall? It's because they were all first year on the ballot. I don't think it's right, but that's what you're going to hear people say.
And I think
you need
asinine.
To wait.
I
agree.
And I'm sick and tired of the elitist attitude, and they got to scrap the people that vote for this thing and start fresh with people who get baseball.
I agree.
Okay? All right? Craig Biggio, okay? I don't care. To me, the first ballot thing, all right? I would deny on my ballot Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds first ballot. I would vote for them next year. Yes, I would vote for them next year. I would deny them the honor bestowed upon Ted Williams, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle. I would not give them that honor. I would vote for them next year.
If you look at the numbers for Barry Bonds up until the point where the steroid question comes into play, those are still Hall of Fame numbers.
You still have to hit it. Okay? You still have to pitch it. Okay? Did steroids make Roger Clemens' forkball better?
Well, and the other question is
and
how many of those...
He went to trial and was found not guilty.
How many of the players in the Hall may have been guilty of something that is now illegal anyway?
Who knows?
Exactly.
You know, after a while, you can't sit there and say, hey, you know what? We're the moral police. No, you're not. You're just voting on who is a really good baseball player. Okay? Pete Rose, I would put in. Okay? Now, I wouldn't have done it in the 90s, but I've changed my mind over the years. Pete Rose has never been accused as a player of betting on games he played in. Right? The accusations are all as a manager. I can guarantee you he's not going to the Hall of Fame as a manager. Okay?
And rightly
so. As a player, he's never been accused of anything. Paul Hornung in the NFL was accused of it, was suspended for an entire year. He's in the Hall of Fame because he had a Hall of Fame career.
What's your thought on Don Mattingly? 13 years on the ballot. Jack Morris, 14 years on the ballot. You mentioned him earlier.
Jack Moore should be in. Don Mattingly should be in.
What about Dale Murphy at 15 years on the ballot, only pulling about 19%?
No, not quite there. I would not vote for him. I know he's a two-time MVP. I think he had a nice run at one point. Mattingly was consistent his entire career. Morris was consistent his entire career. He did not have a block of time where he was great. The lack of a better way of putting it, Dale Murphy gives you the Hack Wilson feeling. I mean, I'd vote for McGuire. I'd put him in.
No, you'd be in the minority there. He didn't get many votes at all.
I know I'm in the minority. But exactly, okay, but I'd still vote for him. Okay? And every owner in the league ought to be saying thanks to him. Because when this league was sunk, when Major League Baseball was sunk in public perception, Ripken Streak and Sosa and McGuire brought them back.
Agree, wholeheartedly agree with that. I've said that many times myself.
I went to Three River Stadium August 22nd, 1998. McGuire did 51 home runs. My seats were two rows off the field, just to the left of the Cardinals dugout. All right. He comes out to hit first inning. Place goes berserk, okay? The Pirates, it's 1990. They're playing for nothing, okay? Nothing. Right? He strides to the plate. He hits one right center field, upper deck, 477 feet away. Place goes berserk. Every single person who paid their money that night to be in the ballpark got what they paid for. He hit number 52. Yes, the Pirates won the game 16-4. Okay?
There's a rule in the Hall of Fame balloting that really always bothered me. Those receiving less than 5% support fall off the ballot.
I mean, eventually I would vote for Palmeiro, believe it or not.
Well, he's going to stay on the ballot, but not by much. Yeah. He only had 8%. Right. Why take guys off at 5% if it's their first year?
I have no idea.
See, if you say those receiving less than 5% support fall off the ballot after their X year on the ballot, then I
Third
could
year.
Agree with that. Yeah,
Third year.
I agree
Third
with
year.
That. but not the first year.
It's just a ballot, for God's sakes. I mean, how long does it take to print a ballot?
I mean, are there any, like, some of the guys on this below 5%, Sandy Alomar Jr., Julio Franco, Kenny Lofton, do they deserve to be in there? I mean, that's up for debate, but it's their first year. Shouldn't they get at least one more shot before you drop them?
Right. Exactly. So.
Eighth time in history that Major League that no one has been voted in.
I mean, there'll be somebody voted in by the Veterans Committee. There'll be somebody voted in by the Veterans Committee. Okay.
Let's see. You know, no living inductee will be present at the ceremonies.
Right.
Since 1960. That was the first time that's happened since 60. The Veterans Committee voted in the 19th century star Deacon White.
Right. Alan Trammell should be in.
Alan Trammell. 33.6% of the votes in his 12th year.
I mean, heck of a player. Okay? Trammell was a heck of a player when he played. Well, you're putting too many people in the Hall of Fame, Steve. I'm sorry, but guess what? You belong, you belong. I don't care if the Hall of Fame has 1,000 people in it or 250 people in it. You throw names in front of me and tell me whether they should be in or not. I'm telling you that you ought to be in. Dominic DiMaggio ought to be in. For goodness sakes. From the old timers group. Dom DiMaggio had a heck of a career. He's just not Joe. I mean, really. I mean, Edgar Martinez. You know, well, he was only a DH. See, these guys come up with all this, he was onlys. Okay? He was only. It's a position. It's been a position in Major League Baseball now for 40 seasons. Okay? Okay? When David Ortiz comes up, David Ortiz should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay? Why? Because when the money was on the table, this dude was winning games. Okay? All right? You can get, I'll hear people, oh, yeah, look, he had 2,500 hits in his career. Well, he had 2,500 hits that were meaningless. Okay, this guy over here, like money on table, drove in runs, hit home runs, won games dramatically, did it repeatedly, not just in one year. He makes it. On my ballot, he makes it. Right? Kurt Schilling goes 11-2 in the postseason. Philadelphia, Arizona, Boston. Sorry, I'm looking around. Tell me how many other guys are 11-2 in the postseason. Pressure ratcheted up. Jack Morris. My goodness, you tell me Jack Morris is my number one starter in his prime today. I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling good about my ball club.
Has anybody said why he's been on the ballot for 14 years and hasn't gotten in? Is there a good reason you don't vote him in? Somebody's got to have something.
Yeah, look at the names of the people voting.
Well, besides that.
That has everything to do with it. I mean, look, Jack Morris was a really good pitcher for a long period of time. Really good. You can't start sitting there and say, well, he didn't get to 300 wins. He didn't get to X. I mean, I'm telling you, I told you 2 months ago, you laughed at this. Andy Pettit's a Hall of Famer to me.
Okay? Yeah, you're going to have to sell me on that one.
Really? Okay, look up Whitey Ford.
Okay.
Tell me who has better numbers. Who has more wins, more postseason wins, okay? And Whitey Ford, he's an automatic. He's Whitey Ford. Oh, Whitey Ford, it should be in. Andy Pettit's got better numbers in both regular season and postseason. Now, does he have more postseason opportunities than Whitey Ford because of the extra tier of playoffs? Yes. But you still have to produce, don't you? I mean, Schilling's 11-2. Okay, that's great. Right? 11-2 leans a lot more to me than what some other people do.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For only the eighth time since voting began in 1936, the voting membership did not elect anyone to Cooperstown. Craig Biggio leading the pack with votes on 68% of ballots cast, just 39 votes short of election.
2 months ago, really outlining everything. Tony, welcome back to the show. It is great to have you with us.
I appreciate you guys having me back.
Well, this all comes down to what's going to be a 48-game season. There's been a lot of damage done along the way. Your read on, in the end, what they came up with and what it means to the fan?
Well, I think there's a couple of different aspects of it. I think most importantly, the fan themselves are going to be the ones who decide the actual fall of this lockout. I think, you know, last time we spoke about apocalypse had they missed the entire season, where the corporate sponsors and the customers that we work with would leave. And I still believe that would have been true. I think they've saved those guys, because those guys make decisions in, you know, April and May about renewal. Now they've got 3 months to get them to fall back in love with the sport, get their customers out there, et cetera. The fan, as mentioned, is not as forgiving, so to speak. And what I'm concerned about, had they missed the season, I think they would have lost franchises. I think we would have seen what happened with the Montreal Expos, with the baseball lockout, or the baseball strike in 1994 happen here. And I still think that's a possibility. I think there is a chance that we could lose a team or two based on this lockout.
And yet, for the union, that can't be the goal. So, for you, let's talk about the ticket part of it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Since they announced the resolution, what have you seen in terms of tickets? Is it down, up, surge, nothing?
You know what? The answer, unfortunately, has been almost nothing. I think what really frightened me looking at it and made me think that, you know, like we talked about before, they were going to come to a deal in January, was that the companies that were out there were still spending the same amounts of money. They were just not spending on the NHL. They were spending on something else. So the NHL was, in fact, daring their customers to go date somebody else. And they've been doing that for a couple of months now. So we don't know what that fallout's going to be. You know, historically, the NHL represents between 8 and 10% of the corporate tickets we see. And in 2012, it was 4%. You could say that that was due to the lockout, but we'll see how that recovers this year. I think as far as, you know, ticket sales goes, there's a lot of branding things that they're just going to try to ignore and hope the fans don't see. One of them being that they basically made it clear that the preseason schedule and training camp means absolutely nothing to them, as they're going to have a two-week training camp and then start playing hockey. You'd have to assume that, you know, some of the players are still on the way home from Europe and aren't even back with the teams yet. So I think across the board there's going to be significant damage. We've seen almost no uptick in ticket sales for the teams and to the teams themselves. And they're just going to have to hope that when the product comes back that people remember, oh, yeah, this is my first true love, not the sport I've been dating for the last 3 months.
Okay, what did you see, for example, in August?
Well, in August, the interesting thing is that's when the corporate customers are just starting to plan for the year. They weren't really that focused on what was happening. And in August, it became pretty clear that, you know, NBC and some of the other major players didn't believe they were actually going to miss any of the season. And that's not what they were told. The sponsors were not told that there was going to be a possibility of the season getting missed. That carried over really for the next few months into now what I think is almost like a malaise for the sport. And it's really going to hurt the small market teams. You know, the teams like New York, the teams like Detroit, the teams like Toronto, they've got enough corporate customers who bought their tickets, you know, April of last year. They're locked in. They're going to come to the games. The question is, what about Carolina? What about, you know, Miami? What about Phoenix? What about those teams? Are those customers going to come back? And that's why I think we might lose a team. I mean, Pittsburgh had significant struggles in a quote-unquote old building after the last few work stoppages. How is that going to affect them this year, going back into their new building, where they've made a lot of promises to corporate customers for a number of years? And I think it's going to affect the fan rather significantly.
It's interesting because just the other day, Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy talked about, hey, we'd like to be back in the NHL business. Lowell Weicker, anybody? But... you know, the NHL said, well, gee, there aren't any franchises. Suddenly, does a market like that have some viability only because a team that is in trouble that you're talking about might say, you know what, I might be able to make it there because they're aching for something?
I'll tell you this much. So I know a lot of the guys at the NHL very well. One of their top merchandise sellers is the Hartford Whalers.
They're in the top five. They're in the top five of merchandise.
Yes. People still love the Hartford Whalers. So I think it's feasible. I think if that happens, we're going to see what could be a very large change in sports across all sports, and it might start happening right there in Hartford. I think we're going to see a very small building, a building understanding the limitations of the corporate customer in the Hartford area, you know, something that maybe only seats 12 to 14,000 people as opposed to the 15 to 20 we see currently, and just a shift in the overall business, which could start with hockey, to we realize that we're battling the at-home experience, and we know that we have to pump out a certain amount of revenues from our corporate customers and stop gouging the fans for so many dollars, and maybe that works there. Where they're going to run into real problems in Hartford, you know, I'll give you a quick breakdown. At most of the big markets, you know, up to 50%, if not more, of their revenue comes from corporate buyers who are buying suites and premier seats, you know, club seats, that sort of thing. That's not the case in Hartford, and there's not that much business in Hartford. So the model that's worked for successful franchises over the last 20 years, they're not going to be able to replicate there. Can they replicate what the Winnipeg Jets did and sell out an entire building on season tickets in a month?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Right?
No, I could tell. I know that market very well. If they were, say, for example, let's pick a team. Okay. Say, for example, the Phoenix Coyotes move.
Phoenix is the most likely, yes.
Right. The Phoenix Coyotes move, okay? They go to Hartford. My guess is they would get a season ticket base probably of 10 to 11,000 right away.
Sure.
They would not get 15,000. They have to build a new building without question. They have to put a building that has suites in it and things like that. They have to have that kind of building available. So that is what they would need to do. What the Winnipeg Jets did, look, there are very few places you're going to move to. Winnipeg was selling out before they went to Phoenix. It's the only show in town. You and I both know it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, you deal with, if I recall correctly, you deal with the Maple Leafs.
We do.
That despite everything, that has to still be an easy sell, right?
It's a very easy sell for them, yes. And, you know, there are very, very few markets, and by very few markets, maybe two or three, where you could feel the team that's been so subpar for so long and still put up the numbers they're putting up. It is in the blood there. You can't do that in other markets, even in other major markets. You can't do that in Chicago. The Blackhawks proved that. And you can't put a losing team out there and continue to have corporate support. In Toronto, you can do it. In Hartford, you can't do that.
No. Right?
You're relying on the casual fan. And,
right.
And just to give a breakdown, right, so I'll give some baseline numbers of, you know, when I used to work back in hockey, we had a circumstance where, you know, season tickets and total overall tickets for the building was somewhere around, I'll give bold numbers, somewhere around $20, $25 million. For the season, where the suites numbers were up around $100 million, right? And that included other events. But you see the economic disparity between the two. So now you're going to ask Hartford to build a stadium, only be able to fill it with 10,000 season ticket holders. You know, they'll be lucky to get 30 to 35 suites in there, if they're lucky. I mean, some major markets don't have 35 suites sold. And now they're going to have a $60 million payroll to compete. That's awfully difficult to do. And I think that is what is the fallout from this lockout, right? I think we already had some teams that were maybe questionable. And this lockout, we could have another Montreal Expo situation where that's right. It for the sport in that market, and it's not coming back.
You are in Los Angeles. The Kings, for the first time ever, won the Stanley Cup. Now, Jack Kent Cook, when he originally bought the franchise, had the joke when somebody said, you know, you're struggling at the gate. This is back in the 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the joke of, you know, I thought you said your market research showed there was a lot of transplanted Canadians here. He says, yeah. He said, we found out why they love Canada. They don't like hockey. I mean, so, which was the, what has that been like there at Staples Center, considering the Clippers are hot? The Lakers, even though they may be a disaster, people still want to watch the train wreck. How are the Kings doing?
Believe it or not, the Kings are doing well. The Kings are, you know, they're a very well-run organization. And they have a very solid customer base. And, you know, even during the very, very thin years, the Kings had a number of very thin years there where they missed the playoffs completely and they were, you know, cellar dwellers. And their numbers were still credible, right? They still had a season ticket base in the 8,000 to 9,000 because it's such a large metropolis to pull from. Do their numbers match the area that they live in? No. It does not. I mean, they're the number two television market. And, you know, as far as their numbers go, they're nowhere near the number two market when it comes to achievement within, you know, ticket sales numbers and revenues and that sort of thing. It's a hot team. It's for somebody. This is a Laker town, regardless. The Clippers are a hot team that people like, but it's still a Laker town. And though the Kings have won the Stanley Cup, you've seen it, but it hasn't been what you'd expect. You know, it's not like it's what it is in Pittsburgh when, you know, the Penguins win the Stanley Cup, where everybody knows and everybody's talking about it for quite a long time. And you could, you know,
but I'm talking about this in terms of but is there a ticket response because they are the Cup champions?
Yes, they will sell more tickets because of the Cup champions. They had, I believe, a couple thousand come in and enter on the waiting list. And now it's their opportunity to flip the script of what we were talking about earlier. You know, earlier we were saying the NHL was allowing their customers to date another sport. And that's a dangerous thing because now you get the opportunity to really change somebody's opinion. This is the most crucial year for the Kings. So talk about typical Kings luck, right? They win the Stanley Cup, and then they get a 48-game schedule the next year. They've got all these thousands of people that are ready to come try out the Kings, and they have to wait 6 months through possibly one of the ugliest things you could watch before they get to come and experience the product. So have we seen the rush you're going to see in other major markets? No. Have you seen a very strong rush considering the sport and the market it's in? Yes. And that's a testament to the team they have in place there. They have a young, exciting team, and they have a good staff.
Right, exactly. They do. Anaheim's down the road. More of a struggle for them because they aren't the Cup champions?
Yes. Not only because they aren't the Cup champion, but because they were the Cup champion not long ago, and they had a little bit of a spike when that happened. You know, the interesting thing about the Ducks is they were so hot in the mid-90s and selling out like crazy, and they ignored a lot of the rules that you follow when you're on top, right? They basically became, well, this is how we're going to treat our customers, and if you don't like it, leave. And, well, the team fell off. The novelty of having the team there fell off, and their attendance numbers went way down. Then they had a couple of seasons where they got a hot goaltender, and they were in contention. Their numbers were okay. Now they're struggling again. I think they're going to struggle even more. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they took the Whalers.
It's growing into a stale product.
Yeah, they took the Whalers' Jean-Sebastien Giguere. That's what they did. The Whalers still show up, man. They still show up.
They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great run for them, and they did okay with ticket numbers, but not what you'd expect for that. They'll tell you all day long that they set records and, you know, sold out a bunch of games. But in the end, the performance was not
right.
What everybody was hoping for.
Okay.
I mean, I think what the NHL really has going for it is, and, you know, I don't want to speak negatively of them, they really do have people in place and an infrastructure in place on the ticket services and on the understanding of the corporate services side that I believe are the best, if not second, only to the NFL as far as running that business and making sure that the corporate sponsors are getting what they need and the customers are getting what they need. They do a fantastic job of that.
Right.
It's too bad they're coupling that with, you know, horrendous leadership on the labor front.
Right. Markets, okay. You deal with tickets, so what, you have 5 million tickets that you're really in charge of?
5 million tickets a year, yep.
5 million tickets a year. Markets, you have no worries. Markets, you have worries based on your business.
I have absolutely no concern. They could have missed this season and next season in New York, Detroit, Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg. All right, they could have missed two seasons and people would have kept coming. Those teams are sold out to the gills. Teams I'm concerned about, Miami, the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay just brought in great new leadership, and now they have to deal with this. That's a concern. Phoenix is a concern. Dallas is a concern. Now, some of the luster has come off the Stars, even though they have some good people in place there. You know, St. Louis just got a good young team that started to compete again after a couple of down years. I'm concerned about the numbers in those markets.
The only one that surprised me there is St. Louis. St. Louis has been a hotbed for a long time. It's been a good hockey town for a long time. Dallas and Tampa Bay and Miami are Dallas, Tampa Bay, and Miami.
Super old building in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It kills them. Kills them. Their amenities are not very good compared to the rest of the league, even though they have a great young team and they do a good job. You know, some of the other teams already saw a little bit of a fall off, which has helped them go into this, right? We've seen attendance drops in a couple of different cities, and we've seen other cities have resurgence, like D.C., like you know, Pittsburgh, for example, you know, a couple of different cities, and Chicago, the Blackhawks are probably the biggest turnaround there is. Right. Winning cures all there. I'll be interested to see how that plays, right?
Right.
Another market where I have absolutely no concern, the San Jose Sharks. I don't know what it is the San Jose Sharks have done to build the team they've built there, but you are not going to see, and I've been to every hockey town, I've been in every building. Mm-hmm. I've never seen an environment like that anywhere west of the Mississippi River.
Right. There are certain places where I think hockey would thrive. You mentioned Hartford being one of them. I mean, it's a small market, but still, hockey would do very well there. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee, but the Blackhawks won't allow it. And Seattle, probably because Vancouver's not enamored with it. Do they have to get past that kind of thinking?
I think so. I think there's opportunities out there. I know they talked about putting another team in Ontario when they were talking about Winnipeg. And I think Seattle, because of what they've proven with the MLS and with the NFL, as far as their support of those two teams, is a very, very viable candidate. They're also talking about a new arena up there, which makes them viable. I think those are the places that make more sense. I think the overexpansion of the league, it's not a secret for anybody.
Right.
We all know that they overexpanded. We all know that there are hockey markets where everybody rolls their eyes, even the people who like hockey, and say, well, you know, we're maybe a little overzealous there in putting a hockey team into a 17,000 person arena in Carolina. You know, that's just not going to sell.
I would have told you that on day one.
You know, it's funny. You think about that, and these are very, very rich people who have very smart people working for them, and you wonder what those financial models looked like when they made those moves. But I think that those are the teams that were starting to really see some turnaround because they just have the right people in place, and they have people at the league who know what they're doing, and they're doing a good job, and then they just got the carpet pulled on them again. And I'll be surprised. I will not be surprised if a team or two can't stand back up.
Give me an idea this summer of the kind of job you're going to have in your hands with the tickets that you have to move based on this. I mean, are the playoffs going to be everything in terms of the future of this league, in terms of what you do with tickets?
I think what's going to happen, so, you know, our customers move their tickets, right? So we have AT&T and Google and Fox Sports and all those customers, and they have all these NHL tickets, and we'll see how well they get used. I mean, the good news for us, we're in a unique scenario that nobody else is in. I'm going to know immediately just how popular the NHL still is at Oracle, just how popular the NHL still is at AT&T, just how popular it is at those companies. I think we're going to look at those numbers, and then it's going to come down to a renewal discussion, which I assume will happen later than usual. Usually these companies are contacted by the team in April and May and said, you know, hey, let's bring you on for next year. I think they'll push that back in the hope that they can make a run, in the hope that they can get that customer back. I do think they saved a lot of business by not missing the year. However, I do see that the upcoming season for them, they're going to have people that have already made a decision to drop off. I do believe there are customers that have, for instance, renewed with the Penguins last year that have already made the decision that no matter how this year goes, they're not coming back next year because of this.
You are as fascinating a guest as we have. I can't wait to have you back on again so we find out exactly what the true trend is.
Yeah, absolutely. We can certainly walk through some numbers and, you know, make it interesting for people. There are things that corporate customers do that would blow people's mind.
Tony Knopp, thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Tony joins from Los Angeles today. SJS continues on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Big hockey fan right here. Grew up around it, love it. Grew up in the Bobby Orr era. By my money, still the greatest player to ever play the game. You can, you know, and look, you can argue Gretzky, and I'll believe you. You can argue Lemieux, I will believe you. You can argue Simone Nolet, I won't. But Bobby Orr, very, very special. And he got all of us interested in the game of hockey. The Bruins were nothing until he signed with them in 1966. And it's a great sport. It is a sport of incredible skill, fast hitting. Love to watch it. You know, now you have this 10-year labor agreement, guaranteed eight. And
there's not enough scoring in it for me.
Well, then you're not going to like soccer then.
No, I'll be honest with you. I don't like soccer. I respect it. Don't get me wrong. I respect it.
Oh, you're only saying that. You're only saying that this not to tick off the populace.
No. I have a lot of people, a lot of friends who are big soccer fans. I just don't like it. There's not enough action in it. I'm sorry. We're watching guys run back and forth, kicking the ball around is not enough action for me.
Right.
That's just me.
Look, what makes sports interesting to Americans, in my opinion, are scoring opportunities or action. They want action. Okay. So in basketball, that's automatic. There's a lot of scoring, and there's a lot of action that happens, whether it's the NBA, college, whatever it happens to be. Okay, that's a given. Baseball, any pitch in baseball can be driven out of the park.
That's
true. I mean,
any
pitch, can, except when the pitcher hits.
No, I don't know you're going to go into that.
Well, sorry, it's just it's that's why you have to make certain adjustments in the game.
Now, here's my problem with hockey, though.
Okay.
Watching it on TV, it's tough to follow the puck, except now in HD it's a little bit better. But when growing up, we didn't have HD, and it was tough to see the puck.
HD is one of the greatest things going. It's one of the greatest things going.
At least I can see it now. So, I mean, I've watched more hockey in the last 2 or 3 years than I ever have because now I can actually see what's going on.
No, it makes a huge difference. It's incredible. It's incredible. So, you have just an entire, you have scoring. It's fast. And you go to a game. Oh, man. You go to a hockey game, you're sold. It takes seconds to be sold. I'm watching the game in person. Football, every third play, you have a chance at a first down. Whether there's always something, some drama. You know, football's got everything Americans love. All right, speaking of football, Johnny Marks from Philadelphia joins us about the Eagles. Yeah, that search continues. You got to love it.